are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
So glad you're here to be with us and celebrate together this morning. Nice to see you here. Well, I want to minister to you from the first book of Kings, and we're going to be looking at chapter 17, and I want to talk to you about a mother's plea. This is for all the mothers who have sat up all night with sick toddlers in their arms, wiping up barf full of Oscar Mayer's wieners and cherry Kool-Aid, saying, "It's okay, honey, mommy's here." This is for all the mothers who showed up at work with spit up in their hair and milk stains on their blouses and diapers in their purse. This is for all the mothers who froze while sitting on metal bleachers at football or soccer games so that when their kids asked, "Did you see me?" they could say, "Of course, I wouldn't have missed this for the world." This is for all the mothers who sat down with their children and explained about making babies, and for the mothers who wanted to but just couldn't. This is for all the mothers who read "Good Night Moon" twice a night for a year and then read it again just one more time. This is for all the mothers who taught their children to tie their shoelaces before they started school, or for all the moms who opted for Velcro instead. This is for all the moms whose heads turn automatically when a little voice calls "Mom" in a crowd, even though they know their own are at home. This is for the mothers whose children have gone astray, who can't find the words to reach them. For all the mothers who bite their lips sometimes until they bleed when their 14-year-olds dye their hair green. This is for the mothers who gave birth to babies they'll never see, and for the mothers who took those babies and gave them homes. This is for the mothers who put pinwheels and teddy bears on their children's graves. This is for the mothers of children with severe limitations. Your freedom has been exchanged for cherished service acts of love. This is for those who've lost their mothers and would give anything to take them out to lunch today on Mother's Day. This is for young mothers stumbling through diaper changes and sleep deprivation, and mature mothers learning to let go. For working mothers and stay-at-home mothers, single mothers and married mothers, mothers with money and mothers without, this is for all of you. So hang in there. You're doing a great job, because God is the one who catches you even when you fall. We all fall. Amen? Amen. Happy Mother's Day. There was a mother in 1 Kings chapter 17 who suffered great loss. She faced real tough times. Yet God was the one who caught her when she was just about to fall. She was a widow, and so she was already grieving the loss of a husband. The country was in the midst of the greatest drought and starvation that hit the land, and she and her son were starving and about to have their last meal. This woman only had enough flour and oil to make a small loaf of bread when she was challenged to give it to the prophet Elijah. And God promised her ongoing provision if she would put her trust in him. She was a woman of faith and had chosen to open her home to minister to Elijah the prophet. And now, in great faith, she had lost her only son. He died, and grief was consuming her. And where can a mother turn when they're in desperate need? Where can a mother's heart trust when her heart is desperately broken? This grieving mother turned to the man of God. Elijah showed compassion and ministered to this desperate place in this mother's heart. He took her son in his arms, and he set a miracle in motion. And no matter how tough the times get, God is more than capable of setting a miracle in motion for your situation. And as I was preparing for our time together this morning, that was the word of the Lord that came to my heart, that God has put miracles in motion today in your lives as mothers. Amen? God never overlooks a mother's desperate heart. Let me say that again. God never overlooks a desperate mother's heart. Amen? And I want to share some insights from Elijah's ministry to the widow of Zarephath that confirms this and confirms that God never overlooks a desperate mother's heart. So go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 17 down to 24. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him up to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, Oh Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, Oh Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, Look, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. When you hear that account, I'm so challenged in the Lord. We see that Elijah prepares to pray and the answer is on the way. And many mothers have spent many hours praying for specific situations for their children, for their family, only at times to feel that they've come up short. But I want you to be encouraged this morning that God hears every one of your prayers. When the mother had lost her son, her first impulse, and I believe this is most mothers' impulses, the first impulse she had was actually not to call on the Lord, but was to begin to blame herself. God was about to show her that this was not the cause of death. It wasn't her sin. It wasn't that she was a poor mother. It wasn't that she overlooked something. It was that God was about to do something that would confirm that he longed to be the God in her life. And that's what he wanted to show her. Personal tragedy is not always the result of something you've done wrong as a mother. Personal tragedy comes by people's choices sometimes. Personal tragedy comes because life is life and life is hard, and hard times come to good people. Tragedy occurs because of the fallen world in which we live. And so this woman is blaming herself without just cause. And this mother and Elijah, they're confronted with a question. And I think most mothers who are involved with their families and love their families, and tragedy occurs within a family, we have questions that we want God to answer. And sometimes those answers are delayed. How many have had delayed answers in your life? I have. Absolutely. And you wish God would have done it yesterday. And you wonder if he's aware that you needed it done yesterday. Right? He's more than aware of what you needed done yesterday. He's the author of your yesterday. He's the author of your today. And he's the author of your tomorrow. And the question that both Elijah and the mother were confronted with was, why did God, who promised life, allow death instead? I love this quote from Joel Smith. He said, I find it a comfort that God not only walks with me through the rough times, the tough times, but he hurts with me as well. And sometimes when we're in the midst of the tough times, when we're in the midst of a storm, and we're looking at ourselves and we have to come up with a reason why this occurrence has happened, this circumstance has happened, because why would this happen to me? Why would this person do this to me? Why does this have to have happened? Why did this have to have happened? God knows those questions. God is aware of the pain that's underneath those questions. And God comes to you to minister to that level of pain and that hurt as well. The prophet takes the widow's son into a loft and talks to God. And I think when we look at these verses of him talking to God, I think it's really an outline for mothers today of how we can go before the Lord in these moments of despair, these moments of tragedy in our lives. And so he humbly reasons with God concerning the death of the boy. And he wants to know God's purpose for this widow's heartache. Why would you do something to somebody who's been so gracious, so kind, somebody who actually is functioning faith? You have to understand that the Lord had already come to that woman and let that woman know that I'm sending a prophet to your house, and what I want you to do is I want you to provide for that prophet a place to live, and you're going to feed that prophet. And she's like, are you out of your mind, God? I only have a handful of flour and a little jar of oil and a few sticks, and you're telling me I'm going to have to take care of this dude? Yes, I will. And she does. And so Elijah's like, she's done what you wanted her to do. She's obeyed you. She's followed all your commands here. She's opened up her heart, opened up her home. Why would you do something like this? And we think when we have a close walk with the Lord, Elijah has a close walk with the Lord, by the way. Why would God do something like that to me when I have a close walk with him? That's a valid question. Sometimes we just need to know that what we're thinking is not off. Sometimes we need to know that what we're wrestling with is truly real. And we have every right to wrestle with God. And so here he is. He's like, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. He wants to know God's purpose for this widow's heartache. She's already lost her husband. Now she's lost her son. Heartache upon heartache. And he earnestly begs God to restore the boy to life again. He has a desperate prayer. And he makes it, as he's praying, it's very clear that he's expecting God to intervene. And I just want to encourage moms here today that I know you pray. And I know you have some difficult circumstances right now, today, in your home, in your family, with your children, or your extended family. And you're like, I've been praying, I have believed, I have blamed myself for some of the occurrences that have taken place. There's that desperate cry, and you don't think God's going to answer that desperate cry. I'm not here to say that he's going to specifically answer that heart cry the way you want him to, but I do know he will answer that heart cry. Because that's who our God is. And so Elijah is specific in his prayers, and he understands the depth of this mother's grief. And God understands the depth of a mother's grief. Francis Frangipane says, instead of praying for victory, we settle for temporary relief. We pray that God will make the devil leave us alone when the Lord is telling us to pursue our enemies and scatter them like dust. Amen? And I love the picture of that, because sometimes the enemy thinks he has us beat. He set up this scheme to destroy our family. He's set up this scheme to come in and infiltrate underneath what God is currently doing in our lives to wipe us out. He wants to bring doubt. He wants us to have broken faith. He wants us to believe there's no deliverance that will come. I'm telling you, there's deliverance because we walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Every mother can tap into the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And in that power, there is life. In that power, there is new faith. In that power, there is new hope. In that power, there are answers. Jesus overcame the grave. God will help you overcome your circumstance. The Lord heard the earnest prayer of Elijah in verse 22. And we see here in verse 22 that the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. And it's that resurrection power that I'm talking about. And I'm speaking that there's a miracle in motion. And I declare today in the household of the Lord and to those who are viewing on Facebook today that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is going to bring resurrection life to you as a mother, to your family, and to the longing of your heart in the days to come. Amen. Let's declare that, what God's going to do. The Chicago Tribune told the story of Betty Tucker. Betty Tucker was a Christian cook who worked the night shifts at the Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. She has been doing her job for 43 years, and of those 43 years, 28 of those have been on the night shift. She sees a steady stream of parents in her job, many of them frightened and weary. On one particular night, around the time the article was written, Miss Betty, as they all refer to her, served food to a mother whose three-year-old fell out of a second-story window that morning. Another mother, whose 17-year-old was battling a rare form of leukemia, and the third mother, whose 18-year-old had endured a seven-hour-long surgery for brain surgery. Their stories break the heart of Miss Betty. And as one coworker interviewed for the article says, that's why she feeds every last one of them as if they walked right into her too small kitchen of her little Southside brick bungalow where she lives. There's a picture of Miss Betty that accompanied the article, which shows a woman with a beautiful smile. It's hard to imagine how much that smile would mean to a suffering parent or child. She says, when I ask, how are you doing today? And they say, it's not a good day. I say, don't lose hope. When the nurses tell me it's a bad night, I say, I understand it's a bad night, but guess what? I'm here for you. I'm going to get you through the night. I'm going to seek my God on your behalf. So guess what? There's a picture of her with her head bowed down over a meal, and she says, I am a praying lady. She says in the article, I pray every night for every room, for every person in the hospital. I start with the basement and I go up.
floor by floor, room by room, and I pray for the children, I pray for the parents, I pray for the families, I pray for the nurses, I pray for the doctors. I say every night while I'm driving on the expressway, oh Lord, I don't know what I'll face tonight, but I pray you guide me through. And I just want to encourage all the mothers here who are faithful in their prayers, who are faithful to seek, faithful to endure, faithful despite the circumstances that they may face time and time again, that God will guide you through. Amen? And that's the moral of her story. And I love that picture of praying from the basement up. I say to you, you pray from the youngest in your family to the oldest in your family, and you watch what God will do in your midst. I just want to encourage you that God hears your prayers and that there is a miracle in motion for your family. Don't be ashamed when your prayers come from a desperate heart. You see, in America, we're supposed to be all together. We're the land of the brave and the free. And what do you do when you don't feel so courageous? What do you do when you constantly feel like a failure? God wants to hear those desperate hearts. God says, Bring that to me. I am here. I am present. I am so concerned. And you will witness me pour out my glory in that situation. Keep bringing your desperate heart to me. I think just like Elijah modeled that, I realize that for each mother here, you've been given a privilege to reason with God. Mothers know how to reason with God like no one else. Be specific with God and ask Him to bring resurrection life to your situation. We all need divine intervention in our lives. Amen. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of failure. It's a sign that you're in desperate need for God. We see a scene of victory, and we see a sign of vindication in verse 24, and it reads this: Then the woman said to Elijah, Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. We see here that Elijah's announcement for victory, he comes down the stairs and he says, Look, your son is alive. And the boy's life is revived and he's delivered to his mother. And this is good news to a brokenhearted mother. And we see the vindication of Elijah when she says, I know that you are a man of God. And all doubts of Elijah's character and power evaporate for this mother. And then we see the vindication of God's wisdom, His power, and His love. And the mother confesses. She says that the word of the Lord from your mouth is true. So she's honoring the Lord. And I'm saying to all of you mothers, always in the midst of your prayers, even when your prayers aren't answered the way that you thought they should be answered, even if they're not in the timely manner in which you think the time should have, you know, that the answer should have come. Always honor God for the word of the Lord that comes to you. And so she honors the Lord. And God was teaching this mother to put Him first in all her circumstances. And everything Elijah had said and did validated God's personal concern and personal care for this mother's situation. And we see the victory of this mother. This mother who's in desperate need. She was in desperate need ever before Elijah arrived on the scene and ever before her son had passed. But this is a non-Israelite woman. And we see something very encouraging for all mothers today. And that is that this was a non-Israelite woman who received the covenant blessing of God. What's the covenant blessing? Is life over death. And so she receives this, not only in the natural, but she receives that in the spirit realm as well. The resurrection of her child gave great satisfaction to the mother for what? A new future, and a new future with God. And there are new futures that are waiting for all mothers here today. There are new futures because in God there's new future. And as you lean into God and God walks you through your circumstances and walks you through the pain of your circumstances or the disappointment or the tough times, and you find God in the midst of it, that's resurrection life that's made tangible just for you. God used this experience to convince this mother that his word was completely reliable. We know it to be true, but is it truly reliable? We know it's what we need to believe in, but is it truly reliable? We know that we need to read it and pray it, but is it truly reliable? And the answer to that question is, it is reliable. It is reliable. Charlie Brown was complaining because his team always lost their games. And Lucy attempted to console the boy with, "Remember, Charlie Brown, you learn more from your defeats than from your victories." And Charlie Brown responded, "Then I must be the smartest person in the world." He had so many defeats, he was convinced now he was the smartest. Mothers can trust God during the tough times. No problem is too difficult for God to solve on your behalf. He will equip you as a mother for every situation and every tough time. And mothers can trust God to supply his wisdom in those crucial moments of life. Your faith will soar and bring victory in the midst of your darkest days. Are you struggling to put God first when your heart is desperate, when your heart is overwhelmed, and your heart is grieving? Remember that no tragedy is too trying for God to intervene. Because God never overlooks a mother's desperate heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Lord Jesus, we thank you for every mother here today. And we thank you, Lord God, that you do not overlook a mother's desperate heart. And Lord, we pray that for the mothers here facing trying times, that your word would be reliable for them. And Lord, we ask for those mothers today that walked in here with a heavy heart, that walked in here discouraged, walked in here today feeling like a failure, that, Lord, that they can place that place in their heart into your hands, and that, Lord, you would come to that, whatever that specific situation might be. And, Lord, just as Elijah laid himself out on that boy, and life began to flow through that boy's life, we pray that, Father, you would lay your hand, you would lay your heart into each of these mothers' lives. And that you would bring forth a new life in that situation, resurrection life. And you would turn what the enemy meant for harm, what the enemy meant for disaster, what the enemy meant to destroy what you were trying to bring about. We ask, Lord, that you would be powerful, that you would be mighty in those circumstances, and that you would bring about victory in your son's name. Lord, we look to you in these times of adversity, and we ask that you would minister your compassion, You would breathe hope into those certain circumstances. You would extend your compassionate heart, Lord God, and fill that mother with a love that you had for her. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that miracles are now in motion or have been in motion that we have not even been aware of. We bless you and we pray for the days to come where we'll hear testimonies of the miracles that came to various families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's love on the Lord and thank Him for our time together today. Again, I want to wish every mother, grandmother, spiritual mama, a very happy Mother's Day. And always remember that no matter how desperate the situation gets, no matter how tough times might be, your God is pouring forth His compassion upon your heart. Amen. We're going to have a time of ministry up here at the altar. If you would like prayer, encouragement, come forth. Come on forward and be ministered to. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.